Welcome to Hope with Bishop Terry Hill Jr. and the Citadel Church of Jacksonville. We invite you to stay tuned as Bishop Hill brings to you a relevant word for the real world. Come with me now to a service already in progress.
2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6 says, so in the New Living Translation, so we are always confident, even though we know that as long as we live in these bodies, we are not at home with the Lord. For we live by believing and not by seeing. Let me read verse 7 again in your hearing. For we live by believing and not by seeing. And because I was raised on the King James Version, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Be seated, please. Get into your posture to receive. We began the year on last week with the understanding that God's intention is for us as a people to faith again. His intention is much that for you and I, we would arrive at a place that regardless of what we have seen, we don't allow the things that we see to be the substance or the foundation from which we manage our lives. We live by what we believe. It has to be for the life of, here's a word, of a believer, that you actually live by what you believe. All right? It has to be important for us that our faith becomes the only foundation that we live on. And when we say live, we mean every single thing that pertains to your life. It's what you use in the basing of your decisions. It's what you utilize for the establishment of your goals. Your faith has to be where you draw your strength from, because it is your faith, the things that you don't see, the God who is at work and yet invisible to your eye, that God provides for you the sustenance, the substance, the strength, the foundation of what you build your life on. Anything else, as we've already seen, is too volatile. Any other person, too shaky to build your life on. It must be built by faith, on faith, your faith in Jesus Christ. The hymn writer of old reminded us, on Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is what? Sinking sand. Some of y'all need to pick up a hymn book because y'all didn't even know that part right there. It's okay. And so it has become important for us, if we're going to manage our lives the right way, we must walk by faith. We learned on last week that you must choose what you will live by. And there are only two options: faith and sight. Unfortunately for a lot of us, we've made the attempt at doing both and doing both at the same time. And we found that we actually run ourselves into the ground. We make more obstacles of our life than we know what to do with, because we've tried to walk by faith and sight simultaneously. And you cannot do that. You cannot walk by faith and sight. You have to choose every single day. Listen, not every single situation, because your situations are too infrequent in how they appear and in their level of intensity. And if you are not careful, you'll try to decide the things you understand based on what you see. And the things you don't understand, you'll try to walk those out by faith. And I know I'm not the only one who's done that. Because there are some things, if we're honest, there's some things, Reverend Hill, we don't even pray about, because we feel like we got it. We feel like we understand it well enough. We feel that there is enough presented to us by way of information that we don't need to utilize faith. so we don't involve or engage God in the decision making, in the setting of goal, in the walking out from one day to the next. We leave God completely out of it. And that's a problem, Shirley, because if you are always leaving God out of the things you think you can handle, here's what's going to happen. When you come to the place that you can't handle it, you won't even know how to access God. We learned on last week, and here's where we ended, that you don't get to trust your sight and pull on God's power. Amen. You don't get to do it. God's power is only available to those who walk by his sight and not their own. And if you would, put that image up if you could. I think I have that. You don't get to trust your sight and pull on God's power. Here's why. Because God's power is available to those who walk by his sight. And if I were to present to you another definition, I believe that walking by God's sight is the ultimate definition of faith. So catch this, if you will, please. If you're taking notes, this will bless you. Faith is the choice to walk by God's sight and not your own. Was that too easy? Should I have said it in the Greek? I'll give it to you again. Faith is the choice. Somebody shout, choice. Choice. Come on, choice. Choice. I can't hear you online. Choice. Choice. To walk by God's sight and not your own. It is understanding that God's not gonna make me trust him. Yeah. Hello? Karen, did you hear me? God's not gonna make you trust him. Channing, God's not going to make you trust him. Now your problems may, but God's not gonna make you trust him. You must choose to ignore what you see and use what God sees alone. We've been given a misnomer that faith is blind. That if I'm not living by what I see, it means I'm operating blindly. As if to say again that faith cannot see. And that is absolutely not true. Faith sees. It just doesn't use our eyes. So walking by faith is very literally using God's sight, God's lens, God's perspective. We dismiss our lens. We dismiss what things our eyes see because we don't even think properly about what we see. Let me restate that. We don't walk by our sight because we can't trust what we see. And we can't trust what we see because of how we think about the stuff we see. Okay, y'all ready to work today? I only need about 15 more minutes. I ain't gonna bother you this morning that long, but watch this. What you see is based on how you think. Okay, look at this. One person sees this glass as half empty. Another sees the glass as half full. Why? Because it depends on how you think. Some have reduced this to an identifier of pessimism versus optimism, and it's so much more than that. It's actually about perspective and thought. What you see, for one, is half empty. What another sees is half full. But if I see it through God's eyes, I see a cup under the faucet and yet also over the drain. It can be filled and it can be empty. Okay. But if I'm looking through my sight, I have to now choose what it is based on what I already believe. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? What you see is based on how you think. I'll prove it further. This past Wednesday, we saw an angry mob of rioters, vandals, and thugs storm the U.S. Capitol. They looted, vandalized, and desecrated an historic place, but depending on how you think, you saw patriots. But you can't trust what you see, because what you see, you process by how you think. So two people can look at the same thing, and based on how you think, you will determine what you actually see. And that's a problem, because scientifically our eyes don't see anyway. Actually, your brain sees through your eyes. Sight may be the mechanical process where light and data are captured by the lens of the eye and transmitted to the brain, but it is the brain that processes it in a way that causes it to make sense to our conscious self. The brain translates the information it receives from the eye into something we can understand. In fact, get this, your brain only receives 3 images every second. And those images are sorted and combined with earlier stored information to create the reality that you experience. So whatever I see is literally not all that there is. My mind takes a fraction of what I see and connects it to what I know and tells me what it is. And based on what my mind tells me, I respond in kind. Let me prove it to you. You ever drove down a familiar street and all of a sudden you see a sign or a building you've never seen before, but that building or that sign has always been there? And it's brand new to you because even though you've seen it, you didn't see it. Because when you saw it, your brain connected what was totally in the frame with what information was already stored. And your brain determined that was not necessary. And in order to save power, your brain deleted that image and only connected to what was already there. So if you never had a reason to go to that place or look for that sign, there was nothing stored there for your sight or your eyes to connect it to when it hit your brain. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? I'm trying to get you somewhere. Watch what happens. Watch what happens. When I see it, I don't always see it. It's why even the credibility of the eyewitness becomes a challenge. Because the eyewitness, and here's the first thing they do whenever they put an eyewitness on the stand, they attack or they work against the credibility of the witness. Because what they're trying to do is not change what the eyewitness saw, but present how the eyewitness thinks. Because based on how the eyewitness thinks, it's going to determine what they actually saw. Okay, watch this. Look at this picture. Look at this picture. It's another picture. I think it's the very next one. What do you see? Do you see two faces? Or do you see a vase? Or a candle? Or some kind of... What do you see? How many people see the vase? Okay. How many people see two faces? Uh-huh. How many people see a tree? It ain't one day. I just want to see if y'all was going to tell a lie. Because, you know, some people just want to see everything. They just, I saw it. No, you didn't. It wasn't even there to see. We'll deal with that part next week. Because some of y'all are lion seers. That's all y'all. We ain't even ready. We ain't even ready for that. So now, because this image is not new to a lot of us, we already knew what to look for. So we had already identified what our brain had already realized, and we articulated that was what we saw. And here's what I'm telling you. We do this in every single day real life. Here's the way French philosopher Henri Bergson stated it. The eye sees only what the mind is prepared to comprehend. Okay. I will. It was good to meet you. The eye sees only what the mind is prepared to comprehend. Let me give you another example, Tori. You ever had one of your friends connect to somebody that you didn't think was any good for them? And you could see everything that was wrong with them, but they couldn't? And the reason you could see it was because you had a reference point already in your mind that certain behaviors, certain vocabulary, certain actions equal a certain thing. But they didn't have that point of reference. I'm talking really good and y'all ain't getting all of this. But because they didn't have that point of reference, they were much more able to receive the presentation based on what they saw. And they got upset with you many times because you saw differently because of how you thought. So basically, whatever you see is a result of what you already think. Okay, now let me bring it to you spiritually. So the question becomes less, what do you see? And more, what do you think? What do you think when your life goes contradictory to your plans? What do you think when sickness and disease afflict your body? What do you think when your goals seem delayed and your prayers seem denied? What do you think when others appear to receive the very things you prayed for, all while you seem to work harder and wait longer? What do you think, not what you see, but what do you think when trouble, tragedy, and tribulation show up at your doorstep constantly like you're the only person in the neighborhood? It's not what you see, it's what you think, because what you think will determine what you see. And so here's why God never tells us to change how we see. He says, change how you think. Because if you change how you think, what you see will change. So here's what he says to you. Until your mind gets right, live by faith. Okay. Because if you live by faith, what you see won't even matter. And so instead of seeing negativity in every situation, when your mind changes, you'll see differently. Some people get the bill in the mail and all they see is negative. The card note comes and all you see is a burden. And somebody else gets their card note in the mail and they think to themselves, I'm driving what I love. Okay. You wake up and go to work or to the living room wherever you work, and you get upset because you got to work, because you got to sit here for 8 hours. And so you look at every email as a problem. You look at every Zoom meeting as a problem. You look at everything anybody sends to you as a problem. But somebody else wakes up, goes over to the kitchen table, and they thank God because now they know, at least they can for the moment, how the bills are going to get paid. And they can make plans because God has given them a way to derive income. It's not what you see, it's what you think. Okay. And so he tells us in Philippians chapter 2 verse 5, let this mind be in you. Oh God. Because if his mind is in you and you think like Christ, you will see like Christ. Oh God. If you think like him, you will see like him, and then you will act like him. Am I right about it? Jada knows what I'm telling you is the truth. Some of us try to get people to act differently and their thoughts ain't changed. It's why you can take a person who's in great debt, pay off all of their debt, and in 2 weeks they'll be back in debt if their thinking doesn't change. Okay. It's just good to Terry Jr. What Terry Sr. too. Let me, why, and so Romans chapter 12 verse 2, he says to us, adapt a new way of thinking. You know Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. Okay. I always quote in the King James because that's what I was raised up on. I don't quote. I read the New Living, but I quote the King James. Okay, all right. All right. All right. It's too many words in the New Living Translation for me to memorize. I need to. Thou says a whole lot more than some of those other sentences. Okay. How did Christ think? Can I tell you how Christ thought, particularly about his problems? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says this: who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Wait. Here's how he thought. He saw a cross and thought joy. Okay. This would be a good place to go on up right here. But I got to give him one more thing. Now, watch this. Because he looked at the cross and saw joy, he despised the shame and is now set down on the right hand of God the Father. Whatever you think is how you will see what happens, and that will dictate how you respond to it. So we got to change our thinking. Now, I want to show you real quick how the Apostle Paul presents this context in chapter 4. So just back up one chapter. And I want you to see verses 16 through 18, and I want you to catch how faith sees. Watch this. That is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. Let me see if I can present this a little bit better by reading it backwards. What you see now won't last, but what you can't see will. So don't look at the troubles you see now. Fix your gaze on what can't be seen. Because our present troubles don't get to last that long. And they're small. Is anybody reading the same book I'm reading? Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. Watch the text I've done. He says to us, if you change how you think about it, what you see will change how you respond. You'll change how you respond to it. Because here's what you got to think about. There's something better and bigger and brighter than what's in front of me right now. So when I look at what I got in front of me right now, I don't trip over what I see. Because whatever it is that I see, I know it's working something better for me. Is anybody catching this? I wasn't supposed to holler, but I feel something happening right now. The reality is, when I look at my problems, I don't look at the problems alone. I look at the fact that the problems are working for me. When I'm looking at divorce, I don't look at the divorce alone. I look at the divorce because my problems are working for me. Is anybody getting this? When I open up my bank account and I don't see as much as I want to see, I don't focus on the number because my problems are working for me. If this was 2018, I'd tell you to give your neighbor a high five and tell him my problems are working for me. That's why I'm not tripping over the stuff I see, because the stuff I see, it can't stay that way forever. But what's coming is better than what I see right now. Shout yes. The pain I feel, God, I feel it now. The pain I feel, it's working for me. The folk talking about me, it's working for me.
them laying folk off on the job. It's working for me. You will look at your problem and tell your problem, thank you for getting me ready for what I can't see. Is there anybody here that can say, I'm real, real glad that my problems are working for me? Shout yes.
Okay, I gotta stop.
God help me here. But I feel like the Lord told me to tell you, stop looking at what you see. Wait, stop looking at what you're looking at. And look over what you're looking at. And start talking about what you're looking at. Over what you're looking at. Stop looking at the lack. Look over it and talk about the abundance. Stop looking at the pain. Look over it and talk about the healing. Stop talking about everything going wrong. Look up, tell your neighbor, look over it. Look over it. Why do I look over it? Because my problem, they're working for me. Maybe that's why he said in Romans that we know that all things are working. Y'all ain't gonna help me here. Together. Woo! I don't know about you, but I can shout right now because my problems are working. Now I know I'm supposed to testify after I go through. But when you live by faith, you don't wait till the battle is over to start shouting. When you live by faith, you don't wait until everything gets better to start testifying. When you walk by faith, you do not wait until your body is healed to start claiming victory. And so I want to give you an opportunity to get you a praise rehearsal. I want to ask you one question, but you can only respond by faith. What you're going to do when God works it out, how you're going to act when he brings you through. Because whatever you see coming, you ought to act like you see it right now. If you're going to praise him then, praise him right now. If you're gonna shout then, shout right now, because you already know that your problems are working for you. Now go ahead and do what you said. Act like you know it's working.
Name. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, bless your name. Somebody just shout, I can see it. I can see my better coming. I can see my breakthrough coming. I can see my blessing coming. But what you're going through right now, it don't matter what I'm going through right now. I see myself, I hear you, in the future, and things look better than they do right now. So I'm gonna praise him for what's in my future.
Yeah. You've just received Hope with Bishop Terry Hill Jr. and the Citadel Church of Jacksonville. You may order a copy of this message in its entirety for a gift of any amount by calling the church office at 904-439-HOPE. You may also write us at P.O. Box 350-414, Jacksonville, Florida 32235. When you call or write, please reference the date the broadcast aired. We invite you to share and worship with us every Sunday at 9 a.m. and every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Our church is located at 1057 Arlington Road. For directions and more information about the church, visit our website at thecitadelchurch.com. Again, that's thecitadelchurch.com. Be sure to tune in next week at the same time for Hope with Bishop Terry Hill Jr.